Well, Shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah and nothing will cause them to stumble. This week, we're going to be continuing talking about the book of Ezra. You know, and Ezra was considered a scribe, which meant that he was a person who was skilled when it came to the law. He was a person who would read the Torah. He was a person who would write. So he was skilled in reading and writing and learning and teaching. And so that's who Ezra was. He was a scribe. So we're going to talk about that this week, and that is basically Ezra as the scribe of the law of God, you know, or his Torah, the instructions that he had given Israel. Now remember that Israel had been brought into captivity into Babylon because they had rejected Yahweh's law and his Torah, and they were disobeying the instructions in which Yahweh had given them, and they instead chose to walk in the ways of the nations that had lived in the land with them, and they were worshiping their gods, and they were not upholding their end of the covenant with Yahweh. So Yahweh brought discipline unto them, and they went to Babylon for 70 years. So now the time has come where God has put it upon the heart of the king of Babylon or Persia at the time to allow his people to come back to the land of Judah or to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. And as we read through Ezra, we actually see that there was a pause because they got sent back into the land, but then there was fear that came upon the people, and so the work stopped until the next king came around, and then he granted them to finish the work. So we're going to start here in Ezra chapter 7 and verse 6. It says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which Yahweh, the God of Israel, had given. And the king granted him all he requested because the hand of Yahweh, his God, was upon him." So here is the verse that talks about how Ezra himself as a scribe was skilled in the law of Moses. So he was apt, or he was well able to understand, to have a knowledge of, and to teach the law of Moses. So that was Ezra's purpose. His purpose was to teach or to lead the people of Jerusalem or Judah in the law of Moses and the instructions in which he had given them. Remember, the instructions were given unto them to set them apart from the nations so that when people saw how they lived their lives, when they saw how they loved their neighbor, when they saw how they loved Yahweh, how they worshiped Yahweh, they would see the good works of Judah, the good works of the people there in Jerusalem of Israel, and want to glorify Yahweh. That was its purpose. The law was given unto them, not out of a means for them to earn their salvation or to earn their justification. The law was given unto them to set them apart so that their light or their good works could shine forth unto the nation. So the people would see how good the God of Israel was and want to worship him. That was its purpose. And that is still its purpose today. We do not obtain our salvation or our justification by means of keeping his law. His law is merely there to set us apart from the nations. And when the people of the nations, the people of this world, see us walking in his law, see us doing his good works, it sets us apart from them, and it puts a desire into them to give glory unto Yahweh. Now, not every person will respond the same. There will be those who will hate us for our righteousness, but there will also be those who will see our righteousness and long to desire to give glory unto Yahweh. Okay. So Ezra's role was to teach them the set apartness of God's law. And in order to teach them that, he needed to be skilled in it. He needed to know it. He needed to understand it. And he needed to be able to understand it in a practical manner so that he could teach it in a practical manner. So let's look at what Paul said unto Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." So this should be the goal of every believer, is for us to be able to be described as a skilled scribe, as Ezra was. One who is able to accurately handle the word of truth. And to be able to accurately handle it, that means we have to be able to understand it. We need to be able to understand the practicality of it and to be able to teach it in a practical way. To fully understand something means that you can break it down practically. You can make something that seems complex seem very simple. And if we're going to teach the truth and to handle the word of truth accurately, we have to know it accurately. We have to understand it accurately. And that's what Ezra was, and that's what he was given, and that should be our goal, is to be able to understand it accurately so that we can handle it and teach it accurately. Because we will be held responsible for how we teach his word. And each and every single one of us are called to be a witness. Each and every single one of us are called to talk of his truth, of his word. So we need to be able to know it and to be able to accurately handle it. Now let's look at Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. "For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of Yahweh and to practice it and to teach his statute and judgment in Israel." So Ezra was a skilled person when it came to the law of Moses or the law of Yahweh. As we see here in verse 10, it's no longer called the law of Moses. It's called the law of Yahweh. The law of Moses is the law of Yahweh. It was given unto Moses by Yahweh, okay? And so not only was Ezra skilled in it, but he still set his heart to study the law of Yahweh. So Ezra spent time learning the law of Yahweh. He spent time meditating on the law of Yahweh. He studied it. He learned it. He got it within the innermost part of his being. If we're going to be able to rightly handle the word of truth, we have to study his word of truth. We have to study the law of Yahweh. We have to study the entirety of his book and understand the entirety of his book as one document, not as two separate documents, but as one. And as we study it and learn it as one document, as one book, we will be able to rightly handle his word of truth. So it starts with studying his word, meditating upon his word. Let's look at Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. "How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers." So how blessed or how happy, how much joy does a man have, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what circumstances is going on around you? How happy, How joyful is a man who does not hang out with the way of the sinners or walk in the way of the sinners, okay? But he delights in the law of Yahweh. He meditates upon his law day and night. So we need to meditate upon his law day and night. We need to delight in his law. And this is where it begins in the process of studying his law. We meditate upon it day and night. If we're going to be able to rightly handle his word, we need to meditate upon his word day and night and allow his spirit to teach us his law. It's through meditating upon his word, through spending time in his word, that his spirit is able to teach us. His spirit will rightly guide us in the word of truth. Okay? And blessed is the person who does this. For you're like that tree firmly planted by the streams of water. Means that tree always has a source of life. So the person who meditates upon his word day and night is constantly rooted into the life of God. So you constantly have life. Your spirit, your soul constantly is feeding upon the life of God, the life of his word. You know, his law brings life. His word brings life. So when we meditate upon it, we are feeding our souls and our spirit and our minds and our hearts with life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here is Yeshua speaking to his disciples and unto us. It's interesting what he says here. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon me. So there is a yoke when it comes upon being a disciple of Yeshua. We are connected unto him. We are tied together with him. We are in covenant with him. Okay, so he has his end of the covenant and we have our end. So there is a burden, you could say, that we carry. There is a responsibility that we carry. But that responsibility is easy. It's light. It's not hard. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to walk in obedience to his word. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Okay. Now he says that this yoke of walking in obedience unto him, it's not something that is heavy. It is not something that is too hard to do. Religion would say his law is too heavy, it's too hard to do. Yeshua says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Okay, so walking in obedience to him is not too heavy, not too hard. But what does he say here? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Allow him to teach you. Allow him to guide you in his truth according to his word, to be able to rightly handle his word and all truth. So we need to learn from him. We need to learn of his righteous ways, those ways that sets us apart from the world. We need to learn those ways that are pleasing unto him, how we can live our life as a living sacrifice unto him. But he is gentle and he is humble in how he teaches us. He teaches us in gentleness and with a humble heart. So we will find rest in his soul. So as we are learning, we're not learning from a hard task master. We are learning from a master who is gentle and kind and long-suffering and is humble in his heart towards us. Now, the other thing that we saw that Ezra did was that he practiced the law, or you could say he did the law. So he was very skillful in the law. He studied the law. So he studied and he learned the law. That's what we need to do. And then he practiced the law, or he did it. He just didn't know it, but he also did it. So he put to practice what he had learned. And that is probably one of the greatest challenges that we face, is actually doing what we're hearing. Being a doer of his word, not one who just hears his word and then goes off and does something else, but one who actually does what we're hearing and what we're being taught and what we're reading and what we're learning. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the rivers came and the winds blew and fell against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone hearing these words of mine and not doing them may be compared to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the rivers came and the winds blew and slammed against the house and it fell, and great was its fall. A blessing comes to those who does his word. To the one who does what he says to do is compared to the man who's built his house upon the rock. His word is a firm foundation for our life. He gave us his law for our benefit, not to prohibit us from experiencing joy and happiness and blessing in this life. It's actually the exact opposite. Because when we walk in disobedience to his law, we may find pleasure for a season, but with that pleasure, when the storms of life come, we will be washed away. But to the one who does his word, who builds their life upon his word, you have a firm foundation. You can stand against the tests that come against you. The other thing that Ezra did was he taught the law. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Do not think that I come to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. But truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. This verse here goes perfectly with both the idea and the concept that Ezra practiced and taught the law. This is Yeshua speaking. What does he say? Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. Do not think that I came to get rid of the law or the prophets. Now, the law, he's talking about the section of what we call the Old Testament, the first five books, and then the prophets are the books written, you know, afterwards, the writings of the prophets. He's like, don't think I came to abolish those writings or what was written. I came to fulfill what was written in there. Now, all that has been written in the law and all that has been written in the prophets has not been fulfilled yet. because there are still prophecies written in the prophets. There are things still spoken of in the law that will not be fulfilled until his second coming. So when he says, "For surely I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke," so not the smallest little detail was written, and that law will pass away until all is accomplished that has been written in the law and in the prophets. Okay? So what does he say regarding that writing and to our responsibilities, right? So whoever annuls or gets rid of one of the least of the commandments, so they don't do the least of these commandments, okay? They don't practice it, and then they teach others not to practice it, not to do it. He says those will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's an interesting concept. He's not saying that that person will not enter into the gates. He's just saying you will be least in the kingdom. Your reward will be less when you enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because again, our ticket into the gates of heaven is not based upon how well we practiced and taught his law. It's based upon whether or not we have been redeemed by the blood of Yeshua. Now, a true belief in Yeshua should produce fruits of repentance. Should produce fruits of obedience. Okay? Now, whoever does and whoever practices the law, what was taught, what was said in his commandments, okay, and then teaches others to do so, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, if you want to have a great reward when you walk into the gates of the kingdom of heaven, what should you do? Number one, you need to be redeemed by the blood of Yeshua, and then you need to be one who practices the law of Yahweh, who does his commands, who does what he has taught, and teaches others to do the same. But see, this is where we have to be as Ezra was. If we're going to do his law, we need to be a student of his law. If we're going to teach others to do his law, we need to be a student and skilled in his law, and to be able to aptly teach his law unto others. We need some Ezras in this time. We need those who love his law, who embrace his law, who study his law, who meditate upon it, and are skilled and able to teach others to rightly divide the word of truth, so that others can walk in his truth, so that others can be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now let's look at Ezra chapter 7 and verse 25. And he says, "And you, Ezra, according to the wisdom of your God, which is in your hand, appoint magistrates and judges that may judge all the people who are in the province beyond the river, even all those who know the laws of your God, and to anyone who does not know the laws, you shall make them known." This is a king of Babylon speaking unto Ezra at this time. This is his command unto Ezra as he's sending him from Babylon into Jerusalem. From this point in time on, Jerusalem would not have another king. They would be a province of another nation. So Judah is being released from Babylon, being allowed to go back to Jerusalem. They're being allowed to build their temple. They're being allowed to worship their gods. They're being allowed to be taught the law of their God, as we see here by their king. The king here speaking, his instruction to Ezra is, you know the law of God. Now you go and you appoint people who can rule the people as well, who know the law of God, and lead these people according to the law of God. Even to the point, he's like, make known the law of your God unto your people. The king of Babylon was not afraid of these people knowing the law of God. When the work had paused before, that king was worried about the people knowing the law of God and that they would rebel against him because of that. This king releases them and says, no, go. And it was because the heart of God was upon this king, and he moved his heart to release them. So Ezra is sent into Judah to find able people to lead Jerusalem according to the word of God. And he is instructed unto them to make them known. Yeshua has instructed us to go into all of the world and to make disciples and to teach his commandments unto all the people of the nations. That is our command. We are to make his commandments, his law known unto all men. And we are to lead and guide according to his law. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week. So come back and join us. And shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.